The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So we are talking about desire and letting go this week. And as I mentioned before the sit, mindfulness practice reveals to us that our quest for happiness that's based in fulfilling desires may not be fully effective because we start to feel the disadvantages of how tiring it is to always be chasing desires, and also that we're not totally in control of what it is that we want to get. But on the other hand, some desires are certainly useful in life and on the spiritual path. So we'll start to look at that. And the topic for today is the diversity of desire. So I think it's important maybe to say right up front, is all desire bad? No. So we'll just say that clearly at the beginning. The Buddha was a lot more nuanced in his teachings on desire, which is a very fundamental movement of the human mind. Maybe we could call it something like, we could say there's a movement toward in the mind. Yeah, we can feel that. There's a movement toward. And there's also a movement away, which is related. But we're focusing now on this movement toward as a very general aspect of the mind. And as we'll see, as we go along this week, the Buddha actually used our tendency to move toward things as part of the path to freedom that he described and laid out for us. But often we know that moving toward is not about freedom. You know, we know from the second noble truth that craving or clinging is closely related to suffering. So we're going to have to look at this desire, this movement toward, sooner or later. You know, it's an important part of the practice to look at that. It's important territory, let's say. So we can see that there's a range of desire or a diversity of desire. I don't think it's quite a linear spectrum. It's more like a space or even a mandala of different kinds of desire. And the way I want to talk about it today is to say that there are five different aspects of desire that we could maybe identify. And so as we touch into each of these five different aspects of desire or facets of desire, see how each one resonates for you. Notice if and how it may be present in your mind stream or even in your body, or how it's been playing out in your life. So clearly in the unwholesome realm of the space, we find what is called a tanha in the Buddhist teachings. And that's a word that literally means thirst, but it's usually translated as craving. And this is that grasping kind of desire or clinging that is obviously painful and harmful. And it relates to things like lust or greed or strong wanting. And when this craving is about the world of the senses, like something, some taste or sound or touch that we desire, we call it kama, which means basically sense desire or sense pleasure, like the Kama Sutra. It's the same word. So kama tanha is strong grasping of sensual objects. But it's not really about the object, of course, that the grasping is occurring in the mind. Or we might habitually grasp at comfort food or sex or sexual fantasies even. And so, you know, we also see things like addiction to drugs and alcohol. And then also tanha can relate to things that aren't sensual, like craving for power or for certain identities. And these kinds of desires I think I can just state clearly, these do not support our path to liberation. It's clear enough because they are themselves. They're binding the mind up. We can feel that when we are under their sway. So that's one kind. And then, you know, to kind of fill out more of the space, another kind is that we have some basic desires that are related to bodily needs, the desire to eat, the desire to drink, or to use the bathroom. And sex as a basic desire in some stages of human life. So these desires are not usually seen as inherently harmful, but they are somewhat stressful, aren't they? Take some effort to do all these things. And I would say that how we relate to the desires of the body influences how happy or unhappy we are. You know, even awakened people have the desire to pee and they still feel physical hunger. There's one sutta that says that even arahants, fully awakened beings, feel sensations that are dependent on the body and conditioned by life, which I think means these basic bodily feelings. So there is some distinction between beings as to whether or not these very fundamental desires bring any dukkha. So we'll talk a little bit more about that at some point. But that is a kind of desire. And then the third kind of desire is that there are desires that accompany trying to live a typical human life among other humans. So we have the wish to find livelihood. We may have the wish to find a partner, to be part of a community, to secure a place to live, and to have enough food that's nutritious, and so forth. And these desires, I think we can say, take a lot of energy and a lot of attention. And they're myriad. I don't think I can even name all of them. Relationships, family life, all these worldly desires, all of our political interests and so forth. Gill has said that we should be called human desirelings rather than human beings, because there's so much desiring and doing involved in all of these. And these are often the desires that we will defend as being very necessary and very normal. And in some ways, yes, of course we have to do these things. But this is a big realm for Dharma practice, because many of these are actually mild forms of what I called kama before, the world of sense desire and sense pleasure. We don't have to have deep pathological grasping in order to be somewhat enslaved to our sense desires. Isn't that true? So the Buddha aimed a notable amount of his teaching about desire into this space. And we'll talk about it more as the week goes on, you know, the desires that go with being human. So then, as we continue with this space or mandala of desires, the fourth one out of five, we could call the more elevated human wishes, if we can use that word. So these are things like desire for the well-being of others, aspiring to be a better person, wanting to learn to meditate or to study spiritual teachings, wanting a peaceful and happy life where we care more about how we're living than about money or status. These are generally very good desires. There can still be some delusion. There could be a self or an ego behind them. But some of these wishes can actually serve our spiritual development and our ethical development and our development of compassion. So the Buddha used our elevated desires as part of the path. He encouraged these kinds of skillful wishes in order to draw us along the path. So it's good to pay attention when we have these kinds of desires, and don't worry about them. Don't worry, oh, I'm not supposed to want anything if I'm on the spiritual path. Some of these good desires are very helpful, and they will lead us along the path. And then the last kind of desire that I would, it's kind of part of the fourth, but I want to separate it out. It's the most powerful expression of spiritual desire, which is the desire to awaken, the desire to be free, to be liberated. And this, even within this one, there are several different facets of it. One word for it is samvega, often translated as spiritual urgency. And there can be times where that's an accurate term. It can really feel urgent that we need to wake up, or we need to do something to move toward liberation. It can have almost a grip to it, except, you know, but not like the grip of tanha. But we could also, so sometimes it doesn't quite have that urgency, and the wish to awaken is captured more by a word like calling, you know, a calling to practice, or a deep sense in the heart of wanting to be free, knowing that there's something more than what we're seeing conventionally, something that we tap into that's deep in our heart. So we have this range. We have, on the one hand, tanha, grasping, clinging, and then, you know, the animal desires of the body, the wishes of a human life, the elevated wishes toward ethics and compassion, and then this wish to awakening. And so although they aren't quite on the linear spectrum, there is clearly a division of wholesome and unwholesome, skillful and unskillful. That's definitely relevant as we look at these different kind of desires. Some are blatantly painful. We might still be succumbing to them, you know, but it's clear enough that they're painful, right? For others of these desires, we're making choices. You know, we decide to put up with the stress or struggle of them because we decide that the result is worth it. There's a kind of a cost-benefit analysis going on in our mind, maybe subconsciously. And the Buddha asks us to look very carefully in that realm. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And then some of the desires are clearly helpful, like compassion or ethics. But on the other hand, even though we know they're clearly helpful, that doesn't mean we always do them, does it? So there's a lot of potential here for training. It's a lot to learn about our mind and our heart, and a lot of good effort we can put in to releasing the ones that are really binding us and doing more of the ones that are helpful and that are elevating us. But to do that effectively, we're going to need some wisdom, some clarity about what is actually onward leading on the path and what is actually binding our heart up. We're not always clear on that as humans in this realm of desire. And then to complicate things a little bit more, it changes along the path. So something may not really feel like a burden or a hindrance to us at the beginning of the path. You know, some kind of desire that we have doesn't feel so stressful because there are other more pressing issues that we're working on. But then later, we might start to feel the contraction or the limitation of certain kinds of desire that we didn't feel before. Start to realize, oh, this is more like attachment. The cost-benefit analysis doesn't work for this one anymore. And so we have to change as it goes along. So this is the space that we're in this week, this space of desire and letting go. And tomorrow we're going to have a look at this kind of desire that I call kama, sensual attraction or sensual desire, and also the movement of mind that helps us to restrain it or shape it in various ways. So I hope you'll want to continue along on this adventure. And thank you. I will see you tomorrow. Be well.